ॐ सहना भवतु ॐ सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि सद्गुरुं सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् What did we see yesterday? We saw, see if we can remember, we saw three types of actions, Vedic actions, prayerful Vedic actions that are means. What are those three means or sadhanas? They are kayena, through the body, vacha, through verbal prayers, and manasa, through the mind. Through these three methods, we can improve three things in this time-space womb. You can improve. You can gain results. What are the three results? What are the three sadhyams, or the three accomplishments possible? The enhancement of the body-mind called upadhi-palam. So the palam, the fruit, the result of improving the body-mind complex, including the intellect, the emotional being, psychology included. So that's called upadhi-palam. Palam in Sanskrit means phalbudeliyate iti palam, that which is subject to rot, is called a fruit. So that which disintegrates. Pal, it means to disintegrate. Anything integrated will be disintegrated. Matter of fact, it's already disintegrated while it's integrated. It's like that, constantly. That's why every 7 years you have a brand new shariram. From the cells and the bones onwards, everything's constantly changing. Recycling. Okay. So phalbudeliyate. So these phalas, these three results, what are the three results? They are upadhi palam, that means the instrument, the body-mind complex that's been given to us, it's been gifted to us, this body-mind of the human being. That's a very, very rare gift, the body-mind of a human being. Jantu naam nara janma durlabham. It's durlabham. It's very, very difficult to attain the human birth. And it's only a result of great grace that you earned, of course, from past actions. in other lives. We have to see if we have time for the karmic model. Okay. But this is a great grace, and this upadhi, this instrument is given to us for the purpose of gaining ultimate grace in our life, to come to that ultimate success. And the only success that's worth saying the word success is not worldly success. It's a success where you have nirdosha sadhyam. We have defectless goal. Means unconditional love of yourself. That alone is success. If you can find any other success, I don't know. I don't know of that success. But this is success, to come to unconditional love of yourself, and of course, love of others will be automatic, will be spontaneous, the universal love. So, upadhi palam, through the puja, through physical prayers, yagas, yajnas, special rituals with fire, etc. Thousands of them are there in the Veda. You can enhance the body-mind. You can enhance the body-mind by your words and prayers through words, and also enhance through prayers purely mentally. And so the upadhi palam is one result possible. And you can go on improving. Okay? You're welcome to. Veda says yes to all of that. Okay, and then the next improvement, the next goal, the next results, palam, would be what? Vishaya palam. So enhancing the sense objects. Once you have a healthy body, you want to enjoy. So bright senses, bright body, everything, okay. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy through the senses. You see? Because all the time we're having stimulus, there's a flow of the stimulus coming into this body-mind complex. And then we respond. So we have stimulus and we have response. And between the stimulus and response, there's a sacred space. I call it the sacred gray area. And you can stay and pray in the sacred gray before you respond. As you have to respond with the driver, the intellect driver. The intellect is your Rolls Royce driver, your chauffeur. And you can put Krishna in that place, the driver. That's what Arjuna did. He knew that if he had Krishna in his chariot, driving his chariot, he cannot lose. So you're a devotee. And so you decide what to say and do. Based on what? Universal values. It's called dharma. Which is a built-in order. And it's choiceless for me as a human being to make a choice. I have to make a choice. So I can do, I need not do, I can do differently. Sometimes the best response is what? No response at all. I'm angry now. I can't talk to you. I'll talk to you later when I'm cool. It's a wonderful response. Be in touch with that anger. There's pain there. And then go back to the pain and cry. Then come back when you're cool. And then answer. Never talk to somebody. We never need to talk to someone when we're angry. It's okay to be angry. There's nothing wrong in that. But you inform. This is my feeling. Without blaming. This is a very, very crucial step for spiritual growth. We all need to make that step. Because there's no one to blame. If you want to blame, blame your altar. Blame Shiva. He can swallow a billion generations of angry children's anger and pain. You did this to me. He'll swallow that and say, yes, if I were you, I'd feel the same. Thank you very much. And his neck becomes blue, 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 blue. And he'll get you right back to the 2-year-old tea party. You are me, I am you, we're having an imaginary tea, everything's unconditional love. And he won't spit it back. He's a man or a woman who can take it and not spit it back. That's your altar. So, stimulus, sacred space, response. Response, conscious and deliberate. We have a very tremendous value for conscious, prayerful words and actions. We have a negative value towards mechanical behavior, unconscious behavior. Any pain you're receiving in the story of your life is because of unconscious behavior, mechanical behavior, making orders unconsciously in the past. Otherwise, you would not get these results. So, you take responsibility. You take responsibility. This is a very important step also for spiritual growth. I am totally responsible for my words, for my actions, for everything that's in the story. I'm responsible. And I'm responsible for my emotional being. I'm responsible for my feelings. I take responsibility. Nobody else is responsible. This is a very important step. And because of that responsibility, now you're using your will in prayer and you're deciding to create win-win mutual honoring situations and break the chains of the past. So we have stimulus and we have response. So all of this is coming in, this umbilicus. See, we came out of the womb of mother after 9 months and 900 billion cells or so, give or take a few, I'm sure, from one cell to 900 billion cells, and all of them coded, and they know exactly what to become, this liver and this spleen and these kidneys and all these wonderful devatas, all these wonderful organs that are serving us. And then, and luckily during the womb, we cannot hold that umbilicus and say, no, mom, I don't want this pickle. I don't want this bitter. I only want sweet. Don't give me that. Well, luckily we cannot do that. Mother knows better to what the baby needs to grow. She knows better. She has amazing intuition. Amazing. Even ladies, the pregnant women, they'll even scratch the wall of get paint and eat that to get the calcium that the baby needs. She has to suffer, but she gets that calcium. She doesn't know why she wants to eat that paint, but she eats it to get the baby's bones to grow. That's in a dire situation, of course. Otherwise, in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock, I want this special olive that you can only get at that deli. And what, you go. So Shiva will run. Because she's mad. I cannot. I have to have that. And I have to have that now. I have to have this licorice sticks. And I need 100 of them. So he runs and gets the licorice sticks. In the middle of the night, where is he going to find him? I don't know. But he has to go, otherwise. So she knows better what we need to grow. She knows better. Then the body can become complete. Luckily, we cannot grab and say, no, I don't want that. I refuse to have that. I only want it. Baby has to, okay, it all comes in. And then, otherwise if the baby could do that, you can think what would happen. The baby will come out without an eye, without an ear, without a leg, it'll be atrophied. He won't be a complete person. But we come out, complete person, because of Goddess's grace, we come out. Then we're in this womb of time-space. A seed, just first a seed. And we grow. And she knows better. The infinite goddess knows better what we need. Every story is no better or no worse than anybody's story. It's all enough. Swamiji's story is no better or worse than your story or anybody's story. It's all enough to let you get cooked well. We all need to get cooked. We all need paripakkam, cooked maturity. So to become a complete person and to absorb, and we cannot become a complete person, even relatively, without absorbing the gifts that are given. Some of the gifts are very painful. Some of the gifts are very pleasurable. But they're all gifts. They're all grace. They're coming from the infinite hands of Mother Goddess. She's giving us exactly what we need. No more and no less. But it's for us to open up with not doing this. We actually can say, I don't want that. That shouldn't have happened, and that should have happened, and all these types of denial of facts you cannot change. You see, past you cannot change. Mother you cannot change. She's gravity. Get the gravity of that so deeply that you can fall at her feet 32 feet per second, sky surf. Your mom. Your mommy, your tsunami. Surf her. She'll bless you with infinite protection. So you have this, all the stimulus coming through the umbilicus of the body-mind complex from the world, the five sense objects and the five sense organs and the mind, and it's coming into our heart. And so to receive, agate swagatam kuryat gacchandam nanivariyet. When it comes, come. When it goes, go. When it comes, come. When it goes, go. If you say, when it's coming, don't come. Stop choking me. Then you're holding your umbilicus. You're not letting her feed you properly. And you will lose a limb. You'll be atrophied as a person. Then you say, when it wants to go, because in its coming, it's going, in its going, it's coming, it's in truth, it's not coming, it's not going, it's all just beautiful lotuses blooming in every thought. But in its going also, no, go! Again, I'm choking when I say, I'm holding the umbilicus. I suffer because of resistance to facts. I cannot change. So discover, what are those facts you cannot change? And what are the things that you can change? Your words you can change. Some habits you can change. 48 days of deliberation, you can change a habit. And you can remove a wrong habit, a destructive habit. You can erase that old one. You can create a new one, a new samskara that will bless you towards moksha, towards freedom. So, you have stimulus through the five sense objects. You can improve these five sense objects, called vishayah, these vishayas, objects of the senses. You can improve them millions of times, if you like. That's called vishaya phalam. Born in time, destroyed in time. God is time. She has the last laugh always. Kali. And then you can also improve. The other palam is loka palam. Your environment. You can improve your environment. So that's called loka palam. So three sadhanas. Kayena vacha manasa, body, words, mind. Three results, three improvements, sadhyams. What are? Improving the body-mind, improving the sense objects, improving your environment. And living a very, very alert, prayerful life. Prayerful means your decisions about what is appropriate and what's inappropriate or inappropriate in any given time, place, or situation. Okay? So at this time, place, situation, there's the teacher invoked, there's the teaching invoked, there's the student invoked, and so there's in this time, place, situation, you invoke the studentship and you invoke the teacher to teach, and then there's an incidental teacher in the moment, and there's a sharing of knowledge, and the grace is that ignorance can go and knowledge removes the darkness of ignorance. The light of knowledge removes the darkness of ignorance. When ignorance goes, attitudes change. When ignorance goes and you understand how everything is in order and blessing coming from the infinite goddess, then your attitude will change. When something comes, come. When it goes, go. No resistance. The implications of this are huge. They're just huge. You have to go into that again and again and find out where you have resistance to facts you cannot change. I offer non-resistance even to my resistance. Oh Lord, bless me with non-resistance even to my resistance. Namaha. The word to destroy resistance to facts you cannot change is namaha. You can say namaha.
Namaha.
Namaha. So each time you say namaha, it will destroy a knot of your heart. So you can say it millions and millions of times. And you're invoking the infallible, you're invoking the higher power, and you're seeing your helplessness, acknowledging your helplessness, and seeking help intelligently from someone who doesn't need help, your altar. And you're offering non-resistance to facts you cannot change in this one word, namaha, 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 namaha. And you hear that ha at the end, it has to be right from your hara. You're learning that from Akashiji, ha, hara. You see, ha, namaha, namaha, namaha. And that's the same thing that happens when you do a sigh. Ah, but you do it consciously here. You bring right to your heart. You're swimming with the ocean of emotion. Even in a riptide, your head's above the water and you're breathing. And you can direct a little bit, prayerfully direct a little bit as you tread water. And enjoy the sharks going around. Namaste, sharks. Namaste, octopuses. Namaha, namaha. Namaste, the dark ocean. Namaste. She's taking care of me, and everything's okay. And I'm breathing and conscious of my words and actions. There is always a way to express your feelings, your emotions, to get your needs met in a healthy, dharmic way. There's always a way. Okay? We need a lot of patience and grace to be present and prayerfully get those needs and express our feelings and emotions in healthy, conscious ways. You have no control over any fact of the psychological being. Nobody does. That's a fact. We have prayerful management in the ocean of emotion. And she is in control and she has no control issues. So you swim with her with the deepest honor and namaha, 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 namaha. And then your head's above the water. If you swim against a riptide, what happens? Even the greatest swimmers, they get, you know, the greatest surfers, they get arrogance and they swim against, they think they're going to, they drown. That's it. You drown and then you... But the thing is, you don't completely drown here. You're always drowning. The samsara ocean, shoreless ocean. But you're drowning and then you say and do things unconsciously, then you're causing yourself more suffering, more pain. Remember, you're in a sacred restaurant. Everything you order, you get. Very conscious of your orders. What do you want? And if you don't get it now, you'll get it later. But what do you really want? You have to decide. If we have some help in discrimination of the fundamental problem, we can decide what we really want, ultimately. A dosha sahita sadhyam, a defectful goal, or a defectless goal. A dosha rahita sadhyam, an absolutely defectless goal. So we can improve these environment, we can improve this sense objects, we can improve the body-mind, but an alert person who's lived a clean life and really observed the limitations of action and result, the limitations. Because every action, every karma, the person, the actor is limited, the instruments are limited, the time is limited, the results will be limitless. No. The results will be limited only. So the result is born, the result will die. So all these accomplishments, ashes in seconds, anytime. They're gone. You have a very brief case that's called the body temple. You come alone, you go alone. You're not going to take anything with you. If you have an imagination that you're going to take something with you, oh, that's fine. It's just an imagination. It's not the fact. Now, if you can come to aloneness without loneliness, that's called accomplishment. Unconditional love of yourself, happiness without any reason, that's accomplishment. The whole universe can tell you're a donkey, and I'll say, yes, that's my donkeyness, thank you very much. Please put a donkey head on now. And I'll smile as the infinite donkey head or the infinite horse's head. Fine. Because every quality of every time and place, it's all your qualities in reality. So if mother likes to see you as a five-year-old running in the supermarket, Mom, can I give her that? That's a great gift you can give her. No, Mom, I'm an adult now. You have to treat me like an adult. Hey, what is this? Then you'll suffer. Stop joking me. Put your hands here, namaha, namaha, namaha. Yes, Mom. And give her that gift of the five-year-old running around in the supermarket. Why not? You have as much freedom as you can give others to be as they are. Especially significant others. That's how much heart freedom you have. To the degree that you allow others to be as they are. I love you. You have to add, as you are. And love is not a verb, it's a noun. It's the noun. It's not an action. We have some concept of it being an action. It's noun. A noun. A noun. What's a noun in Swedish? That's what it is. It's not a verb. What's a verb in Swedish? Okay. Everybody got it? So, it's a noun. The most profound noun. It's you. Okay? So to come to that, we can say to our, I love you as you are. That means I accept you. Because love is acceptance. I accept you as you are. Now, even if that's not true completely, say it. And fake it, you'll make it. Okay? Because you're deliberately changing your words. And you know you cannot change another person. But you start using the words. Words are magic. Words create tyranny. They create hell and suffering. And if you use the right words and you see what words you can drop and use the correct words, they'll create nothing but heaven, heaven, heaven in your heart. The immediate heaven, okay? Not some heaven later. We're not interested in that. So, alert person living a very clean dharmic life, making decisions on their responses, prayerful responses in the ocean of emotion. They're swimming with the ocean, not swimming against her. Then they're observing all the things that can be accomplished in this time-space womb. And they've really gone through and accomplished things enough. And then they say, oh, there's something more. Vedic life is meant only for this. So Vedic life prepares the person, gives all, lets you satisfy all the desires that human beings need to satisfy. But it also says at the end of that, and then somebody asks, well, all of these three palams, these three sadhyas, these three goals, are fraught with, they're full of defects.
What's fraught?
Fraught with, full of. That's why I use full of. Oh. Fraught with, imbued with, full of defects. So what are the defects? Do you remember? The defects, the three defects that we need to discriminate. And those three defects are what? All these goals that you can accomplish within time and space with karma, with action. Okay? Through action, through process, through improvement of the body-mind, improvement of the sense objects, improvement of the locale. Loka palam. See, loka, the word, came from locale. No. Sanskrit. Locale came from loka. So, Sanskrit has cognates in many languages. That means that you'll see that supaha, it's a 3000 BC word in Sanskrit, supaha. What is it? Soup. You'll say soup. What do you say? Supa. So that came from Sanskritam. Many things are there like that. So, you can improve. Now you see, what are the defects of these goals, these accomplishments? The defects are three. Every pleasure is mixed with what?
Pain.
Pain and suffering. Struggle, 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 struggle to get accomplished. That's a lot of pain. Suffering. And then struggle, struggle, struggle to what? Maintain. More struggling. More pain. More suffering. Struggle, struggle, struggle. Also, then everything's lost in a second. Ashes. Then extreme pain. Especially you put all that my life I've put into this project and then gone in seconds. You can't take anything with you. Go to a cancer ward sometime and see how much these people's hearts are open because they know they're going to die. It's a great gift. It's a great gift. Now, you need not get into those implosions of cancer. Implosion of cancer is because of denial of facts you cannot change, and therefore, after 45 and the big midlife crisis and nothing happens, the person doesn't wake up to spiritual growth, then they implode and explode constantly and die quickly. That's the fact of what's going on. Now, do you want to repeat your mom and dad's myth, or do you want to change it? You can change it. You need not live your mom and dad's myth. You can change it. You can break the chains, but it's only your choice. You can't change them. You only love them as they are. They're the God and Goddess of the whole universe. But every time you see them, look for those buttons and say, "Thank you, Mom. You helped me see something in myself." Ah, because I love to have people find buttons in me to make me react. I used to just love that. I fell in love with that. As a spiritual student, you fall in love with that. Please, if you can find any button in Swamiji, you're welcome to push it, okay? Yes. Because children love to push those, because they see some reaction, you see. That's why we touch each other. Down, 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 down. Right? Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Then you want to touch more, right? Now, what if touching? Okay. Touching. Oh, thank you. That's a nice massage. Very good, thank you. What happens? Oh, this fellow's no fun. I'm going somewhere else. Gone. Welcome the unexpected guests. Atithi Devo Bhava. Unexpected guests, a goddess, a god, and welcome them. When they come, 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 come. When they go, 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 go. So, the first blatant defect is what? Dukkha misritattvam means the quality of all of these sadhyams, all of these accomplishments, no matter how much they are, they're mixed with pain. Every pleasure is mixed with pain. It's not unalloyed pleasure. And what do I want? I want to be happy, Swamiji. When? At all times. Where? At all places. In what situation? At all situations. During what state of experience? All states of experience, Swamiji. I want to be happy. I'm not waiting for the weekend. I don't want to wait for the weekend. This is one thing that really got me when I was younger. Why are people waiting for the weekend? I don't understand this. Waiting for the weekend to recreate themselves. A recreational society. Work, work, work. I hate the work. And I'm waiting to get out. Escape. This is very peculiar to me. What's wrong with Monday? Monday morning, they have to wake up after a big headache after partying all night, all the weekend, and have a big headache from all the alcohol that they destroy their Rolls Royce with. After killing billions and trillions of brain cells, they wake up, I have to go to work Monday morning. Take a pill. Zombies. I wasn't, what is this? Why can't Monday is the best day? Every day is the best day. Every moment is the best moment. It's tonight, now, 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 I'm happy. I want to be happy here and now at all times, at all places, in all situations, in all states of experience. That's when I want to be happy. And if my happiness depends on some object of awareness, I will be unhappy the next second. Because anything, an object of awareness is integrated, disintegrated. So, If your happiness is dependent on some object of awareness, you're going to be unhappy the next second. So, student of Vedanta is not interested in bhava sukham, becoming happiness. So, in the Swamiji, are you having fun? No, I cannot have fun. Why? Why can't you have fun? Because I'm funness. Sorry. I'm the ness of all fun. So I can never, ever have fun. It's impossible. I prefer that. I don't know if you got that. Did they get that? If you're the ness, that means the abstract noun, the ness of all fun, you can never have fun. Have fun means an object of awareness is causing your happiness. That means you'll be unhappy the next second. That's called bhava sukham, or becoming happy. Becoming happy is just as good as becoming sad. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in knowing the nature of myself as happiness here and now. And for that, you need scripture. You need to be taught. You need to understand, because it's a cognitive pursuit. It's not some experience that's going to come and go. So, this first defect that is there in all these goals is that they are all fraught with opposites. Every gain is a loss. Every happiness turns into a sadness. And then the second defect is what? Second defect is that no matter how much you have, navittena tarpaniyo manushyah. Nachiketas, the student of students, says to Yamaraja, Lord Death, who is the teacher of deathlessness, in Upanishad, he says, navittena tarpaniyo manushyah. No person is ever satisfied with any amount of wealth. Oh, I have a house. Now I want a cottage in the country. Oh, I have a cottage. Now I want to have... Oh, I have a Mercedes. Now I want to have something. Oh, now I want to... Goes on and on and on and on. You ask any rich person, so-called rich, it's all relative. No, no, the rich people. They'll talk about the rich people. The greatest wealth is the contentment with what you have. Right now, right here. See what you have, it goes on to the infinite. That's called wealth. And you can always improve the environment. You can improve the infrastructure or lessen it. You can always share. But that you're content with what you have. Vittam tena vinodaya chittam. Means the heart is ever content with what I have. Is enoughness. And then I can share. But the person is never, ever satisfied with any amount of wealth. Always plus, 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 plus. So, satisfaction. I want satisfaction when? And how much? I want to be satisfied absolutely. In myself, by myself, without any reason. Atman yeva atmanatushtaha stita prajnyastadochit. So, in himself, by himself, without any reason, he's happy. Because he's happiness. So the happiness I want, that is myself. It's not going to have anything to do with any karma, any type of action, any type of process. It's purely cognition, recognition. And you cannot recognize by yourself, and so you need the teacher and teaching. It's just a cognitive shift, which is very silent. It doesn't, it's not some flash of tube light going on. It's not an epiphany. It's not some experience. It's like when you understand 7 plus 3 equals 11 minus 1. Okay. Now what kind of a shift is a cognition? It's a cognition, isn't it? You recognize 10. Because you're fit. You're fit to understand that equation. Did you get some blasting bliss when you understood 10? No, Swamiji. So, in the same way, this equation, tat tvamasi, you are the cause of the whole universe. How can I be? It's because the I is identified with body-mind complex. So it's obviously not the immediate meaning of the word you. The Shruti has, cannot just, the mother Shruti, the words of the Veda, Vedanta, obviously mean something with that statement. That's the most profound equation there is. So it's not the immediate meaning, it's the implied meaning. And so we have to... So through that you will get satisfaction. So nothing will ever satisfy. I'm getting on, but I have this but will keep coming. I'm not satisfied with something. So dissatisfaction upon dissatisfaction upon dissatisfaction. You ever decide. So any gain will continually let you be dissatisfied with that. That's all. Any goal that you gain within time and space will continue to give you dissatisfaction. It will consistently give you dissatisfaction. It will consistently give you dissatisfaction. It's called atriptikaratvam. It will never give you tripti. It will never give you, oh, enoughness. Enoughness. It'll never give you that absolute enoughness. It's called alam buddhihi pratyaya. That is the knowledge that everything is absolutely enough. You can't add, you can't subtract anything from that enoughness. It's overflowing enoughness. And if anything, there's Musha. That's the Ganapati again. It's coming. The little Ganapati. Yeah, it's coming. So, the enoughness. So, that I am enoughness is alam buddhihi pratyaya. So, you're never going to get that through any accomplishment in time and space, or any accomplishment through action, any accomplishment through any process of thinking. You will never ever get enoughness. You'll just have, it's like throwing gasoline on the fire to put it out. Is that very smart? It just burns you more. It's like putting ghee in the fire. Oh, if I put ghee in the fire, he'll stop putting his tongues out. You see, he'll finally say enough. The fire will say enough. Oh, Agni, have some more ghee. Have some more butter. Have some more oil. Just pour that into the fire goddess, and she'll say, give it that. Wow, 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 wow. She'll keep putting her tongues out. She'll never, ever say enough. That's why Agni, another name for Agni. Agni means agragami, the one that comes up. Goes up. And another name for fire is analaha. Alam navidyate yasya saha. The one for whom there's never enough. I just finished eating a whole forest. Now, ready for another one. You see? So he never says enough. So by accomplishment in feeding them, fixing the body, fixing the sense objects, fixing the environment, there's never going to be enough. Adripti karatvam. I'm not interested in that. So says the brahmana. So says the alert, prayerful person. And then the third defect is what? The third defect is, does anyone remember the third defect?
We get dependent.
Yes, dependence comes. So things always have the capacity to enslave you, to take you hostage. Of course, nothing can take you hostage unless you let it. Nothing can bind you. Nothing can shackle you. Nothing can tie you up unless you let it through your resistance. So you're not letting it go. It's possessiveness that possesses you, not possessions. If you can let them go without feeling a loss, then you're not possessed by that. That's why always, as a spiritual student, always to grow, you can let things go. Make sure that you can be on your own without that. Okay, I'm taking coffee, but I can be without coffee for 10 days. I'm fine. No complaint. Okay, I'm having this. I can get rid of it. I can drop it any second. If you're craving that and you can't get up in the morning, I have to have my coffee. That means coffee is drinking you. You're not drinking the coffee. You see? That means it's a crutch. That means you're not independent of that. Then drop it. Drop it. Life is continual tyaga. It's sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. Drop it, drop it, drop it, drop it, drop it. And shift your attention that will where you can get absolute independence. And you're not going to get independence through anything that you're aware of, any object of awareness, any accomplishment within time and space. You will never, ever achieve absolute independence. It's impossible. But you can get absolute independence through understanding that you are absolutely independent immediately as you are in that cognitive shift. And you can't make that cognitive shift yourself, and therefore, again, you come back to the teacher and teaching and listen again, listen again, listen again. That's the mirror that will show you your infinite independence. That means you'll be independent in yourself. The whole universe can blow up. You'll laugh at that. Oh, that's nice. Can I have another sushi with lots of wasabi on it? Oh, thank you. Can I have another sushi? Death, mrityu tasya, mrityuhu tasya, upaseshanameva, jnaninaha. So, for the wise person, death is like a pickle. It's an extra taste that lets you enjoy another sushi. The pickle is the upaseshanam in Sanskrit. That I'm just using the wasabi mustard on the sushi. That's like the pickle. Gives you, wow, oh, very nice, thank you. I'll have another sushi. Have an extra appetite. There's no fear. So to get fearlessness of death, be free from the fear of death, would you prefer that? Or do you want to remain in fear and try to get deathlessness through extending the body, which was born in time, will die in time. Even if you could extend it for 120, which is highly doubtful, it will die. The body has shadvikaras, has sixfold modification. It's called shariram. It's a much more objective word for the body. Shariram. Shiryamana svabhavam iti shariram. Shradhatu means to get destroyed, destruction. So it's integrated, it's getting disintegrated. It's constantly getting disintegrated. That's called shariram. Asti jayate vardhate viparinamate apakshiyate vinashyati iti shadvikaravat sthula shariram. So the body has sixfold modification. It is, it's born, or it's born, it is. It grows, it metamorphoses, it declines, and it dies. It gets destroyed. Now, can we have that as objective and enjoy that when it all falls apart? And the teeth are falling apart, and the hair's falling out, and the wrinkles are... We will never be able to enjoy that cheerfully unless we understand the nature of the self as deathless. And that means absolutely secure, because security means what? Not some insurance that you pay for. Oh, I've insured, there's some actresses, I've insured my legs for $10,000. So peculiar, see, what people put their insurance in. I've never had any insurance. Yeah. That's the Ganapati. We'll give him some prasadam. That's the Ganapati's musha. He's reveling because he's got Ganapati. We've been doing Ganapati with Tharva Shirsho Upanishad, and he's reveling in that. Maybe he'll be born later as a human being because of the grace of Ganapati. So, right now he cannot listen to Vedanta. Even though he's here, he cannot hear that. But some grace that Jiva will get. So, this bandhakatvam is the other blatant defect. Pay attention, please. So, the bandhakatvam, this is all part of dhyanam, you know. Dhyanam means, meditation means your mind goes somewhere and then you bring it back. So even if your mind goes out to lunch, okay, bring it back. I'm watching you, so bring it back. That's part of it. So what is that defect? Bandhakatvam, that means it can cause, any object of awareness can cause more dependence. Dependent causing drugs, dependence on a person, dependence on a situation, dependence on so many things. And all we want is absolute independence. We don't want to have crutches. If I can pick up a stick and put it down and I have good two legs, that's not a crutch, because I can pick it up and put it down. It's just something I can pick up and put down. It's fine. But if I depend on this constantly, and then I depend on another thing and another thing and another thing and another thing, that's not security. So we want to be free from all these crutches. Absolutely. We want absolute independence, swarajyam. And we're not going to get that through any time and space, any situation that's born of karma. Any result of action is going to be limited. It's not going to give me absolute independence. So, the discriminative person called Brahmana, Pariksha, looks into these things, scrutinizes these three accomplishments very, very thoroughly, and determines that anything that is born within time will die within time, even some heavens, you know. And I'm simply not interested in that. But I still know there's something more. There has to be something more because I still desire. But these things can never, ever fulfill this desire that I have. And I know that. So this is called a Brahmana, an alert, prayerful person who's assimilated the experiences with non-resistance. So they have very little resistance, and they've gone wisdom from their prayerful life. They followed dharma, the prayers, etc. And pariksha lokan karmachitan nirvedamaya brahmanaha. This brahmanaha gets nirvedam. Now what's nirvedam, Swamiji? There's some blank. What's nirvedam? Well, when you're playing with balloons with a child, do you not know that balloons pop? You know, balloons pop. That's what balloons do. They pop. You're not running after the balloons as an adult, hopefully. You're not running after balloons. I have to have my balloons, and I have to keep them in my bed at night, and I sleep with my balloons, you see. I have to have my balloons. You're not running after balloons for security. So, and you're not running away from balloons either. No, I shouldn't see the balloons. Because if I see the balloons, I'll get attached to the balloons, and I don't want to get attached to the balloons, and I should put cover. You see, there was one fellow who got out of an airplane in London. He says, please, make sure that I don't see a woman when I get out of the airplane. Hey, what is this? Because I'm having detachment from women. What kind of an idiot is this? It's idiocy. Every person is a jewel of jewels, sparkling in the sun. What kind of a prejudice? Is supposed to be some greatness to that? No. It's just... So, you're not running away from things. You know what this creation is worshipful. It's all beautiful. Every facet of your body, mind is a jewel. It's a lotus flower blooming. There's nothing about it that is not sacred. It's all sacred. The whole creation is sacred. Sanctify, sanctify, sanctify. If we have some shame in some area, some feeling of impurity, then say prayers that counteract that again and again until those ideas and those conclusions are erased. They're neutralized completely. This is because of the Western culture that has conditioned us in a certain way to think there's something profane. There's nothing profane in this wonderful blessing of a creation. It's all sacred. It's all profoundly beautiful. So I'm not running away from balloons. I'm not saying I should not see balloons. And I'm not running after balloons thinking they're going to give me some security and happiness and all. They're just balloons. It's a nice balloon. And so I play with the child. Now the child has an idea. The child has an idea that balloons have some permanence. The child has an idea that balloons have a permanence. That balloon, my balloon. My balloon, look at my balloon. It's so nice. And then, pow! My balloon, it cries. I want my balloon, it cries. I want my balloon, it cries. And when you're very philosophical, what is your attitude towards that? Oh yes, dear, balloons pop. That's what they do. No, I want my balloon. I want that balloon. I'll give you another balloon. No, I don't want that. I want the other. Well, this is the other balloon. It's popped. It's broken, you see. You can't have it back. Your tears will not bring it back. You're very philosophical. Very objective about balloon. But the child keeps crying. So that attitude of objectivity. I call it objectivity. It can be called dispassion, but we have this different. We have a different notion about the word dispassion. Dispassion. We have different notions about this word dispassion. I don't know what the word is in Swedish, but here I'm calling objectivity. So you know this attitude you have towards balloons, okay? Now that I've explained this attitude, you understand. Your attitude towards balloons playing with the child is very objective. You know that balloons pop, and so you're ready for balloons to pop anytime they pop. Oh, beautiful, balloons pop. That's what they do. Okay. Okay. That's it. You don't have any crying about it. You're very objective. This is what balloons do. That's the attitude. It's very objective. Now, what pops is a balloon. Every thought is popping, body's popping, world's popping. So you've grown to a place where your balloons have changed. Stock market crashes. Balloon. So you cry like a child because you had some idea that stock market will give you some security. Or house burnt down, God forbid. But house is constructed, it can be destructed any second. You lose your house, you have to get in another house. My balloon. Persons, companies, accomplishments in these three areas, all are balloons. The whole jagat, the whole cosmos is a balloon. Seen gone, seen gone, seen gone, seen gone. The whole cosmos is a past passive participle. It's already dead. It's gone. It's a balloon. So obviously our attitude towards balloons has to grow a lot. All right? That's where our discrimination, our clear discrimination about what is the nature of balloons, and I'm not interested in balloons. I'm interested in that which is permanent, that which cannot pop, that never comes, never goes, it's not born, it doesn't die. I am not interested in that which is born and dead. I'm interested in that is birthless and deathless. And that I have to know. Because you cannot get it in time and space. It's the basis of time and space. It's timeless, spaceless being. It's already the nature of I. It's the nature of the self. It's uncreated. It's self-existent. And you're not going to get that in time and space. And you're not going to get that by any form of action, any form of process. So, this Brahmanaha, who is objective towards balloons, balloon to the Brahmana is, the Brahmana means the alert, prayerful person who has discriminated what you can get through karma, through action. To this Brahmanaha, he understands the whole jagat. This jagat, you remember the meaning of jagat? Jayati, ja stands for jayati, and ga stands for gacchati. Born, gacchati, gone. Born, gone, born, gone, born, gone. Seen, gone, seen, gone, seen, gone. So every seen is gone. Every seen also, S-C-E-N-E, gone. Whether it be internal seen, external seen, and seen, S-E-E-N, gone. Gone. Ashes. Balloons. And I'm not interested in those balloons. I know that I cannot get the uncreated. I want the uncreated and the self-evident. I want moksha. I want nirdosha sadhyam. I want the goal that has no defect. I want defectless goal. And I am ready to sacrifice anything for that. Because you can gain one thing, but everything else is as well gained. Isn't that worth gaining? You can know one thing. You can know one goal, one infinite goal, and you as well know all the ornaments, like pot, like chain, like earrings. Nowadays, eyebrow rings, lip rings, they put everywhere now. the piercing puja. So all these rings, all I know one gold. All the rings are known. All the forms, the names, and the functions are known. I don't have to know all of them in particular. I know one gold. So yasmin vignyate sarvam vignyatam syat. Knowing which, everything else is as well known. Yallabhat na param labham. Gaining which, there's nothing else to gain. And that you cannot add to that. You cannot subtract from that. That's called the gain of all gains. And it's gaining of the already accomplished fact that I is full and complete here and now. And that's in terms of knowledge. So the discriminative person understands that. And they understand also that I have to gain that knowledge only from a traditional teacher. Because this person has been born and raised in the Vedic culture, they understand that. We all have to understand that from some grace. And so, pariksha lokan karmachitan nirvedamayat brahmanaha. This brahmanaha has objectivity. Nirvedam means objectivity towards balloons. And he says, nastya kritaha kritena. He says that kritena, karmana, by karma, by any form of action and result, means and ends in time and space. Akritaha, that which is mokshaha, that which is absolute freedom from suffering. Nasti. I cannot gain that through this means. And therefore, I'm simply not interested in it anymore. I'm interested in that which is uncreated, it's unborn, and it's ever deathless. And I'm interested in understanding that because it is an object to know. It's not. It's the nature of the subject. It's not objectifiable. So it's ever the subject, never the object. Ever the seer, never the seen. Ever the hearer, never the heard. When I say ever, do you understand the word ever? Ever means timelessly, in and through all experiences, the nature of the self is free, is uncreated and self-existent. So, all these thoughts are called experiences, okay? All thoughts, all experiences become evident to I, but I is self-evident. I don't become evident to I. I is self-evident, but unknown in its nature. Its nature, the nature of I, is limitless. Time-wise, space-wise, object-wise, absolutely limitless, here and now, in and through all experiences. You're free. That I want to know. I have to discover that only through listening to traditional teacher who unlocks the words of the traditional teaching. Who is a sampradayavit, who is one who knows the tradition, because this is not academic. You're not going to get a PhD for it. You're not going to get recognized in society. Actually, you're going to be an unrecognizable nobody. Now, if you fall in love with being an unrecognizable nobody, well, you're somebody to understand. Swamiji, that's very peculiar. Yes, it is. It's extremely radical. Because it's radically different from 99.99999% of everyone in this whole cosmos that we know, of course, this world. They all want something else. They all want dosha-sahita sadhyams. They all want defectful goals. So only this very extremely rare person desires this and is ready for this. Okay. Now, we're not always completely ready when we come, but we're going to make ourselves ready. We're going to be more and more objective towards our balloons by clear discrimination and seeking this by not by action, not through action, not through process, but through knowledge. Because this is an already accomplished fact that has to be known. So, ever the experiencer, never the experienced, is the nature of the self. And that's not going to be objectified, it's not knowable, it's not unknown, it's not going to become known. It's not knowable, it's not unknown, it's not going to become known later. But it's ever the knower. So the whole knowledge that takes place as you listen to Vedanta is completely unique. It's completely different. It's owning up the already accomplished fact of the nature of I as full and complete here and now. That I'm absolutely okay, and you're absolutely okay, and everything is absolutely okay. It's okayness. It's absolute okayness. And it's always been like that, and it never will not be like that, and everything's okay. It's beyond the psychological model also. All models, all concepts, it's beyond all concepts, it's beyond all speculation. This is not a speculative philosophy, and therefore every speculative philosophy is a point of view, and it will be refuted by another logic. Because everything that's set up by logic will be destroyed by logic. It's not beyond cause-effect. This is beyond cause-effect. So it's causeless, effectless being. That's Brahman. So Brahman, nirdosham hi samam Brahma, Bhagavad Gita-yam says that Brahman is absolutely defectless. And then there's a defectless pramanam, a means of knowledge, a defectless means of knowledge to know that Brahman as yourself. You happen to be Brahman right here, right now. You are Brahman, the cause of this universe, the cause of this cosmos. You are that. What a news! What a news to even hear that. Mumukshunam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye. Among thousands and thousands and thousands of seekers, Few people even hear this. Very rare. And come to understand this fundamental problem of human suffering and its solution. And then choose to pursue it. They ask to know. I'm not interested in balloons anymore, Swamiji. Please remember how you were taught, how you understood this Brahman. Then the teaching is invoked just for the asking, and you can receive the knowledge. So, Brahman is defectless goal, and Brahman, what is Brahman or Brahma? Sometimes in parlance we say Brahman or Brahma, the word is Brahma. What is Brahma, Swamiji? Well, Brahma comes from the root brah, brahi vrdhau, in the sense of bigness. Well, isn't that a relative thing? It's a relative word, isn't it? So this is a very small musha, very small mouse, Swamiji, compared to the big mouse. There was one big mouse when I was staying in one temple, outside of a temple, Tirupati, in South India. There's a very famous temple. Hundreds of thousands of dollars go into the offering place every day, called Tirupati. We were staying in that room outside of that temple, and I was sleeping in the middle, and two other brahmacharis on either side, and I suddenly wake up at 2 in the morning, what's something? Get off my neck! I said, I was told I said that. Get off my neck! Oh, there was some hopping kangaroo mouse. He's a very big fellow. And he's tickling. That's a big mouse, Swamiji. This is a very small musha. That's a big mouse. Then I found on either side the nails of both of my friends had been completely... Yes. Because the food, you see, we eat with our hands, right? And so that fellow smells that and says, oh, there's a nice meal. So he gave them a manicure, a pedicure and a manicure. Yeah, whatever hand was available, this fellow chowed down. The fellow had a good meal. He felt, oh, Annapurneshwari has blessed me. That's a big mouse, Swamiji, compared to the small mouse. It's a relative term, isn't it? Big. Oh, this is a big mosquito compared to the small mosquito. You have small mosquitoes here. Oh, in the Amazon jungle there, this big. In the Triassic period, what do you think the mosquito was? Listen, one bite of mosquito, you turn into a prune. After all, it's a pregnant woman wanting blood meal for her babies. Give a donation to the Devi. Give a donation. It's a nice donation, blood donation. And you're giving to the Devi, the goddess, and she's just getting that blood so she can have her babies. After all, this is a big mosquito compared to the small mosquito. Oh, no, this is a very small star, Swamiji. The sun is a small star compared to this other star in this other galaxy. That other star is 1,000 of our suns fit in that star. That's a big star. No, this is 700 billion stars in this Milky Way galaxy. I just had a picture somebody sent that you are here. You know why you go into a mall? You know, and they go into a mall and it says, you are here. And this is how you navigate to get to the Radio Shack or some other boutique. You are here. So this is the Milky Way galaxy, okay? There's 700 billion stars and then you're here. It says, you are here. So this Milky Way galaxy is a very small galaxy, I tell you. There's only 700 billion stars. Oh, this other galaxy, that's a big galaxy. There's 10 times that many stars in that galaxy. Put the Hubble telescope, you know the Hubble telescope? Okay. They took that Hubble and they concentrated all its mirrors to capture light from the darkest place of all the sky that it could see. So they honed the mirrors on that darkest spot where there was absolutely no visible light that it could see, that anyone could see. And they honed it in and they let it gather the light from that place, like a pinhead of a place, for 10 days. Okay? And then they looked at the picture. They saw hundreds of galaxies. Hundreds of galaxies, they saw. Okay, you put billions of Hubbles and billions of years, and you keep looking. They'll be bigger and bigger. So it's how big, Swamiji, is Brahman. It's just bigger than the biggest, which is just smaller than the smallest. It's not big, it's not small, it's beyond the concept of big and small. It's you. So Brahman is limitlessly big. Okay, it's beyond the concept of big and small. That's how big. And you cannot, that Brahman is away from you only in terms of ignorance, because Brahman is you, is existence itself, is qualityless existence. It's the gold of gold that is the noun, that is the basis of all of this time-space ornaments. Okay? It's like the clay for the pot. But we can only know that clay, we can know that Brahman through Aupanishadam Brahma. So this Brahman is Aupanishadam Brahma. It is known through the Upanishad. It's known through the means of knowledge of Upanishad, which is taught by a live teacher. And so now, this is the cognitive pursuit, and it's a pursuit that is the basis of the very immediate means to moksha, the immediate means to absolute freedom from suffering. There is no other means for moksha. Everything that helps me mature as a person for my listening to gain depth, that's the secondary means that we have to pay attention to. It's not secondary in terms of importance. Is secondary in the sense that it's not the direct means for moksha. Jnanam, knowledge of myself as Brahman, as the cause of the universe, here and now, that knowledge is produced by Upanishad, which tells me the equation, tat tvam asi, that you are the cause of the universe. You are Brahman, which is the cause of this known and unknown cosmos, right now and here. That known and unknown cosmos includes your body-mind complex also, and everything in this awareness, even the I-thought, which is just a notion born of self-ignorance. That notion gets destroyed by listening to Vedanta. But since you cannot know it yourself, you're absolutely helpless to know this yourself. So we need a teacher. Acharyavan Purusha Veda, the one who has teacher, will know. And so, tad vijnanartham, in order to know that Brahman, tat means Brahman, which is nirdosha sadhyam, is defectless goal. To know that Brahman clearly, without vagueness, doubt, and error, as myself, gurum eva abhigachet, I go to the teacher in a proper, with proper humility, with namaste, with understanding that I am a worm that is within this whirlpool after whirlpool after whirlpool after whirlpool, trying to swim in this shoreless ocean, and I'm getting nowhere. And here is the means to get out of suffering. And so I take refuge in that means. My hair is on fire. And here's the bucket of water. I don't start consulting. Do you think I should put my hair, I should put my head in the bucket? And no. I put my head in the bucket. And I find this is the one desire that can be fulfilled. Every other desire will just add more desires to the fire of desire. This one will put it out. It's called the one desire that's Shubha Ichha. It is the auspicious desire that can be fulfilled absolutely. You see? So you get to the Shubha Ichha, the one desire that's Shubham, that's Mangalam, that's auspicious, that can be fulfilled. And you pursue fulfilling it through knowledge. You listen. You go to a teacher. And abhigachet. So, with proper humility and placing trust in the teacher and teaching that's trustworthy, non-manipulative, then gain knowledge. Who is that teacher? He's Shrotriyaha. He's one who knows, who has been taught, by a traditional teacher. Who is that? One who's been taught by a traditional teacher. His or her teacher. By immemorial time. When did it start? It came along with the creation to solve this fundamental human problem. And it's not born of the human intellect. If it was, it would have inherent defects and it would not bless you. But it does bless you. It can, it will. It will bless you if you decide to let it. Give it a chance. You can give it a chance. You see? It's not putting a promise like a carrot in front of you. It's giving you the challenge that you are the cause of the universe. It's the equation. Now, how does Shruti see me? I see myself as a limited being in time and space suffering. Now, Shruti says, you are full and complete here and now. You are all happiness, infinite existence, infinite knowledge. Already. Everything you want to be, you already are. Then how is that true? I'm ready to see that. And so I'm committed to this knowledge. And I pursue this knowledge every day by listening to the scripture taught by the teacher who is Shrotriyaha, who has been taught, who knows how to unlock the words that they don't become conditioning for me. Otherwise, words will condition you. Even says, Shastrajnopi Brahmajnanan Veshanam Swatantriyana Nakuryat. Shankaracharya says in his Bhashyam that even if you be the scholar of scholars with knowing all the ologies of the whole world, you will never ever study Brahman by yourself. Why? Because you will come up without understanding anything. So you have to have a teacher. So if somebody has a problem with teacher, they have a father problem. That's what it is. Or they've been burnt by people who have not been trustworthy, who have not had the scriptural teaching properly. And so they're manipulative. So this teaching has no manipulation whatsoever. There's no ego involved in it. There's really nobody teaching it. It's the means of knowledge that's important, not the person. And it's the knowledge, the meaning of the words that we have to get to. It goes beyond difference. So there's a mutual honoring in unconditional love between teacher and student, which goes beyond difference. It's a magic. It's a great magic. The teacher's a wonder. The student's a wonder. That you can understand is a wonder. That it can be taught is a wonder. Everything's a wonder. Your jaw will drop and it will go on and on and on and on and on and it will never come up. That's what this teaching is. So the Shrotriyam is the teacher is Shrotriyaha and Brahmanishtha, one who is committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of Brahman and also one who knows without vagueness, doubt, and error, the nature of I as Brahman. Otherwise, how are they going to teach? There's no way they can make another person see, unless they know. And the only wise person you'll ever discover is yourself. They're not going to be somebody you discover outside.
that has a beard, he has a beard, therefore he's a wise person.
All these ideas, all these romantic ideas will all get absolutely squashed that you picked up from reading an autobiography of a yogi onwards. Okay, so all these romantic ideas will get squashed, destroyed. So the teacher is Brahmanishtha, who is living a life dedicated with a passion for this knowledge, and also knows this, and knows how to help, how to let another person see that. So they're not a mystic. They're Shrotriyaha, they're a teacher, because they can remember how they were taught. If it worked for the teacher, it can work for you. It can, it will, and it does work. It blesses. So then now it's my commitment to let the Shruti see for me. Let the words of the scripture, helped by the teacher, see for me again and again and again and again and again. Listen, listen, listen. So this is called Shravana Sadhanam. This is the Shravana Sadhanam. The listening means. Doesn't involve any action whatsoever. It's just cognitive pursuit. And everything that serves to increase my emotional being, that gives me freedom from resistance to facts I cannot change, that lets my heart relatively relax in non-resistance, therefore non-reaction, peacefulness, that is the secondary sadhana. It's called Pushkara Karanam, secondary cause for moksha, or the Avantara, or sadhana, means the secondary sadhana. And it's very important, because without the qualifications, knowledge cannot take place. Knowledge has to take place in the knower. And so the knower involves the whole person. It involves the heart, and you can't bypass the heart. You need a very, very good self-image to let go of all images and see that all images are you, even with your mother giving you lots of amusement park mirrors to look at yourself. And then you can watch that. Oh, Mom, thank you. It's so amusing that you see me that way without any reaction. That's a certain freedom. So we have to grow a lot in our emotional maturity. And then the result of that knowledge is that all these qualifications are natural and spontaneous to the one who has this knowledge. So jnani lakshanani sadhanani bhavanti shishyanam. So what my teacher naturally expresses, you are all happiness, infinite existence, infinite knowledge already. Everything you want to be, you already are. Then how is that true? I'm ready to see that. And so I'm committed to this knowledge, and I pursue this knowledge every day by listening to the scripture taught by the teacher, who is Shrotriyaha, who has been taught, who knows how to unlock the words that they don't become conditioning for me. Otherwise, words will condition you. Even says, Shastrajnopi Brahmajnanan Veshanam Swatantriyana Nakuryat. Shankaracharya says in his Bhashyam that even if you be the scholar of scholars with knowing all the ologies of the whole world, you will never ever study Brahman by yourself. Why? Because you will come up without understanding anything. So you have to have a teacher. So if somebody has a problem with teacher, they have a father problem. That's what it is. Or they've been burnt by people who have not been trustworthy, who have not had the scriptural teaching properly. And so they're manipulative. So this teaching has no manipulation whatsoever. There's no ego involved in it. There's really nobody teaching it. It's the means of knowledge that's important, not the person. And it's the knowledge, the meaning of the words that we have to get to. It goes beyond difference. So there's a mutual honoring in unconditional love between teacher and student, which goes beyond difference. It's a magic. It's a great magic. The teacher's a wonder. The student's a wonder. That you can understand is a wonder. that it can be taught is a wonder. Everything's a wonder. Your jaw will drop, and it will go on and on and on and on and on, and it will never come up. That's what this teaching is. So the Shrotriyam is the teacher is Shrotriyaha and Brahmanishtaha, one who is committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of Brahman, and also one who knows without vagueness, doubt, and error the nature of I as Brahman. Otherwise, how are they going to teach? There's no way they can make another person see unless they see, unless they know. And the only wise person you'll ever discover is yourself.